Okay, let's go ahead and get started. How are you doing? Ready for a little rest midweek of this long conference? Probably. Should be a really good party tomorrow night, so I hope you all enjoy that. I'm Donovan Follett. I work out of Redmond and corporate. So I'm a technical evangelist, and what that means is, yeah, that is a valid job title at Microsoft. It's always interesting at, when I come up to my tax time and have to declare what I am, and what I do for a job. I always wonder, how does that one actually translate on the back end to the IRS? But anyway, it is a valid role, and one of the things I have the opportunity to do as a technical evangelist is work closely with the product groups, as well as closely with our partners that are adopting our technologies. And so that's kind of an exciting spot to sit because you see how the product's growing and emerging and coming together through the development cycle, and then you see all of the great ideas that the partners have and how they're going to build on top of that platform and implement that and put it out so that customers can consume it. And so it's a really unique opportunity, and I really enjoy it. I have the opportunity to work with Office 365 and Office, and so that's kind of my technical expertise line. And so Office 365 is just such a, to me, such a very tremendous opportunity for all of the small, medium, and large businesses. Mostly, certainly a lot of the large businesses already have SharePoint installations. But for the small and medium businesses to be able to have an entire SharePoint online in the cloud and available to them so they can build out productivity solutions and use that collaboration environment, it's exciting to see, and it's exciting to see it come to play. Now, today, how many already have an installation of Office 365? Okay, great. So today what I want to do in this talk is spend a good amount of time talking about business connectivity services. Because business connectivity services, that pivot for what it brings to the Office 365 SharePoint online environment, to me is really, really critical and really exciting about having the ability now to reach out and pull your external line of business system data directly into SharePoint and how to surface that up in a whole number of new types of solutions, productivity solutions. And some of those are no code, and that's what we'll talk about today, as well as some of them are code-based solutions, and we'll show you how you can tie those together as well. So with that, I really only have one objective. And that objective is to propose to you why business connectivity services is such a valuable addition to Office 365. It came in later than the general release of Office 365, but it was something that ISVs as well as our customers said, we really need to have this. So now that you have it, what does that mean to you? So with that, I also only have one takeaway. And that's that you'll be inspired to use business connectivity services to light up your productivity solutions. And hopefully through the demonstrations today, you're going to see that business connectivity services adds value to the power user. Because once it's present in the environment and it's set up and there is data available, that power user can now do some things in piecing together no-code types of productivity solutions that are really going to help their end users. As well as for developers. Developers now have an opportunity to pull a whole array of tools as well as devices, as well as rich clients together to be able to build full end-to-end solutions now as well because business connectivity services is there. So I'm going to propose that to you, that power users as well as developers have a lot to gain in the value that is there based because of business connectivity services. But the power users can do their thing, and the developers can do their thing, but it's really that end user where is that point where information takes action. And so all that we do as power users and as developers, all that we do is really to make sure that information is in the hands of those that can act upon it. And so with that as kind of the background, let's take a little journey together today through business connectivity services. Now, if you have not been a part of SharePoint, with SharePoint 2010 on-prem installs, as well as maybe you're new to Office 365, what I want to do here, first of all, is just give us a little bit of a level set. So what is business connectivity services? Well, it's that way to extend the reach of your enterprise line of business data into the SharePoint environment. That's where people are working a lot of times, as well as that data then can also be extended off into the Office clients. So we landed in business connectivity services, and then that can be also extended out to the Office clients, and we'll see some of that today. For IT, though, it gives IT a way to be able to centrally manage the way that developers are connecting to the data. Certainly, there can be web services. You can stand up web services as to the front end of line of business systems, and developers can go at those web services and hit them. But sometimes that has a tendency to not be as controlled as maybe IT would like, because you can write bad queries, you can do bad things against those web services, and they would like a more controlled type of way to be able to manage how those web services are being used or in a centralized kind of way. So business connectivity services under SharePoint allows IT to be able to have that control, because essentially when you configure business connectivity services and an external content type like we'll see, when you configure that, you can configure that in the way that it doesn't pull too much data out of a system or things like that. So you can toggle it and filter it down, etc. But once you have this data available, then again, you can easily build solutions on top of that. No code as well as code-based solutions. So from an architectural perspective, when we look at the architecture, this is exactly the same architecture for business connectivity services in Office 365 as it is in SharePoint. In SharePoint on-premises. Okay, so it's exactly the same architecture. The only major difference is that Office 365 can only connect to SOAP-based web services. So where in the on-premises version, you can connect to SQL databases directly, you can connect to .NET assemblies that you have created out of Visual Studio, as well as the WCF services or a SOAP-based web service. In the cloud for Office 365, we only allow the connection to the web services. Now, the reason why is because the cloud is a shared environment. So because it's a shared environment, the .NET assemblies just can't run out there. Okay? It's just too much risk on the platform. But I think that what you'll find with web services alone, you can have web services front-ending a database and just hit the web services. You have complete control, and really a good array of solutions can certainly be built just because the web services have been exposed. But if we look on the right-hand side, there are BCS components, of course, in SharePoint. We have the external content type, which we'll talk a lot about today. We have the secure store service. So to connect up to the WCF service or the web service that's been exposed, you're going to want a secure connection to that, okay? So it's the secure store services that helps you store the credentials that are going to be connecting to the web service. But then as we move up the stack, ultimately what you expose within SharePoint that is visible to the end users and that can be hit by external add-ins in Office is this external content type, or I'm sorry, the external list. So the external list is exposed in SharePoint just like any other list, okay? The only thing is, The only difference is that lists in SharePoint are static lists. You know, you add items, they're stored out off into the SharePoint database, and those lists are static in the sense that SharePoint owns them. However, for an external list, the external lists are dynamic in the sense that anytime a user clicks on the link to go to that list, it actually goes out into the line of business system through the external content type, hits the web service, and the data is pulled back and exposed in the SharePoint list dynamically. It's all real time. Nothing is stored at all within SharePoint. So all you have is the path to the data in SharePoint, but the data is not actually stored within SharePoint. Okay, so that's the SharePoint side. But then the Office clients also have the capability of understanding BCS and how to do BCS types of things. So you can synchronize automatically external lists and things like that and expose lists up into Outlook. So there's a number of connectivity types of things that BCS understands within the client. This is the Office 2010 client only, not the Office 2007. However, even on and above the BCS capabilities built into the Office clients, you can also have your own custom add-ins in Office. And those custom add-ins can then also be able to reach out and access SharePoint Online BCS. And we'll see how to do that today. The focus will be on the external content types. I covered this just a little bit, but again, just as a level set, what's the difference between on-premises and SharePoint Online? First of all, BCS wasn't present at general availability. We only have the SOAP web services that we're going to connect to. And this is the other caveat. BCS Online only supports username and password authentication. So that's where the secure store is going to come in for you. You're going to have within the secure store a connection point, essentially, figure a secure store object that is going to maintain the credentials to be able to access that web service. And you can think of this as the trusted subsystem model in the sense that it is a single username and password that is going to be connecting to that web service. And there is no, it's on a group permission type of basis only. So you will put people in SharePoint in groups that you want to be able to access through that secure store service connection, okay, through those credentials. So what that means is the back-end user line of business system doesn't know the user that's connected to it. It only knows that the username and password of that trusted administrative account. So if for some reason your back-end system needs to know the user or something about the user so it can make decisions, authorization types decisions or things like that, if it needs to know that information about the user that's connecting, then you have to pass that through to your back end. You have to manage that in your own code. So you have to manage that and pass that through to the back end as a parameter. So today what I want us to look at is really an end-to-end scenario. An end-to-end scenario that ties together a lot of the technologies that you've been seeing and hearing about already this week. We have the Azure-based technologies. We have up in the upper right-hand corner, we have blob storage. What's blob storage? It's binary large objects. It means anything that you want to push out and store into blob storage, you can. These could be movie files, these could be pictures, they can be documents. Whatever you want to store, you can push out into Azure Blob Storage. In our scenario, we're going to put pictures out there, okay? We also have a SQL Azure back-end line of business database. It's our orders database for Fabricam. Fabricam sells furniture. And Fabricam delivers furniture to its customers. And so we're tracking all of those orders in the SQL Azure database. And then what we've done is we've put a front-end compute on that. So we have to have a way to be able to access the database and access the storage with some logic behind it. So that's one set of technologies that we're using. But then we also are, our Fabricam owns an Office 365 tenancy, which of course now has business connectivity services as a part of it. So they're going to build an external content type and connect up to that. But once they have all of that in place, then they want to start lighting up the types of user-based solutions that are going to make productivity advancements within their organization. So with this, we have Fabricam, we have the Blob Storage, we have a WCF service, it's a SOAP-based web service. Now for my demonstrations, my web-based service is open, okay? So it doesn't have any credentials associated with it. That's simply because I didn't want to have to buy a certificate because a self-signed certificate won't work with business connectivity services. Business connectivity services in Office 365 is going to require a valid CA cert to be able to connect up with. So my service is open in this case. And then we're going to wire up business connectivity services, and out of that, we're going to create an external list. And so that's going to give us the basis. Azure, Office 365, a WCF service, that's going to give us the basis for the types of solutions we want to build. So with that, let's go ahead and go over to demos. So first of all, I have my Windows Azure portal here. And out in Windows Azure, I have built my web service, and I have my web service deployed out into Windows Azure. And so it's sitting out there, it's running. I also have my databases, so I have my SQL Azure database. Here is my BCS orders database. Now what's really nice, I don't have any of the SQL Server management tools which can work with the Azure SQL databases. I don't have any of those deployed on my machine, but there's a way now that Azure has made available to us, and that's just the ability to work in a management type of console to do some light duty types of things against the database. So I just click on the database and click manage. I'll log into the database. And once I log into the database, I have this nice little user interface tool that I can do a number of management kind of things directly with my database, nice and easy. I don't have to have a whole suite of tools installed on my laptop to do this. So here's my administration. I can go directly to design. When I go to design, you can see all the tables that I already have in my line of business system. I can go to any one of these tables, let's say for orders, I can edit that. So the first thing I can do is it'll bring the schema in. Here I can make changes to the schema, add columns, drop columns, et cetera. But I also can have the tool just simply bring me the data. So I can click on data, and now I'm looking directly into my database so I can do a number of things here if I want to. I also have the opportunity to write queries directly from here, so I can just simply do select star from orders and run the query. And so I have some nice little management types of things I might want to do just with straight SQL queries. I can save these queries off to my desktop, and then I can have them push them back up when I want to run them again. But also with the design, it's kind of nice because it can also show me the dependencies, so I can see the relationships between the various tables that are in my database. So here I can just see how my tables are relating to each other. So this is my data, this is my line of business data, and it's going to be exposed through my web service. So with the database and my web service in place out in Azure. Now I need to go over to my Office 365 side and I need to wire this up. I need to make business connectivity services know about my web service and start to pull this together. So we'll go ahead and close this out and come into my administration portal. So all of you with Office 365, this is a pretty common site for you if you're an administrator on the portal. So I've just logged into the portal, and with that, I am going to simply go to Manage SharePoint. So as I come over to SharePoint Management here, I'm just trying to save some, bandwidth here. Come into my SharePoint site. Here I can manage my site collections, but this is the new item that you've seen with Office 365 now, is manage business connectivity services, as well as manage the secure store. Okay, so with managed business connectivity services, the first thing that you're going to need to do to be able to wire up anything to create an external content type, the first thing you're going to need to do is come in here and set this metadata store permissions. Okay, so it's in the metadata store permissions that you give the rights to those that you want to be able to create external content types. So anybody that is in this store, okay, can then have these sets of permissions associated with their name. Now that's for the creation and the management of external content types. That's not for the consumption of the external content types. So we'll cancel out of that. But let's say this external content type, this one has already been created. Now if I want to allow specific access to individuals or groups to that external content type, these are the people that will actually be able to click on the external list and see something. Then that's where we go in and we do the set object permissions. So this would be where a group or individuals would be as a part of, provided as a part of those that can access the external list. Okay, so that's all that you really need to do initially on the business connectivity services side underneath of SharePoint. Now, the secure store service is the place where you would come to actually make the credentials available to connect to that external content type. So you would create a new secure store ID here. You'd create a new secure store ID. You would put in the username and password that's going to be accessing and accepted on that WCF service side of things. And you save this off. This target application ID is a unique value that you would then use on when you create the external content type. We'll see in a couple minutes here. Okay, so that is the secure store. So with the secure store in place, with the permissions in place to create external content types, then the next step actually is to come over to we can go to our SharePoint Online site. And this is an Office 365 completely branded SharePoint Online site. So if you're still looking at the same out-of-the-box SharePoint Online, you can do some stuff with that, okay? You really can. And so the same type of branding schemes that you would use in SharePoint on-premises, and there's books about that, and a lot of resources about branding SharePoint. Those same types of solutions can be applied out here. So, fix up your site. Make it happy for those people that want to come and use it. But once your site is available to you, once you have the back end in place, then you can come out to your site, you can go to Site Actions, and you can simply edit your site in SharePoint Designer. Now, I've already opened up SharePoint Designer, so we don't have to wait for it to open up. But it just is going to authenticate and make a web service call. Web services calls back to your Office 365 site. But in SharePoint Designer, works just like the on-prem version. We can come in and we have our external content types here. And we would simply do a create a new external content type. One thing that I didn't do, let me just come back here just for a second. One thing I didn't do was just hit my WCF endpoint here, because just to show you that the service is there, and that's what we're going to be using. So it's strictly, this is my WCF service in the cloud, that's my endpoint. I can go ahead and hit my WSDL. And it's those two pieces of information, the service endpoint and the WSDL, that I'm going to need when I construct my external content type. So once we have those two, we can come in. I'll just start a new one here, and then we'll go to one that's already built. We'll just go to TechEd, and there's just a couple things that you can actually create here. You can align this with an office item type, and here you can see appointment, contact, task, post. So if you have data coming out of the line of business system that really fits nicely with what contact kind of information would be, say customer or things like that, you can actually map that into what we call as an office item type. And then that external content type is a well-understood construct that we can then push off into Outlook and do some things in Outlook. I'm not going to wire that up here right now. But here we just simply would add a connection. We can't do the .NET or the SQL. We can do WCF. And there's just a couple pieces of data that we need here. We need the metadata URL. So I'll just paste this in. And WSDL. And then the service endpoint. Then we can give it a name. And this is also where you would come down and you would, if you had a secured WCF service, this is where you would also place your secure store ID in this point. That target ID you just created, you would place that here. Okay? Then you go ahead and click OK on this. And when you click OK, it simply takes you through about a 3 or 4 step wizard to be able to pick the fields that you want to pull in from your web service and that you want to be able to expose up. I'm going to go ahead and cancel out of that for the sake of time, and we'll just pop back over here into our customer, one that's already created. And you can see some things about this as it loads this up. An external content type is kind of a big name. What really is it? What does it really look like if you actually could look at the data that's associated with it? It's just an XML file. And as an XML file, all it's going to do is describe the methods that you're going to use against the web service, as well as the data or the attributes, the elements that you want to bring back and either as parameters push in or data elements that you want to bring back. So as you look here, over here on the left-hand side, the XML, if you looked at the actual XML, there would be an element in there for load customer, which is just one of the methods. So load customer is getting a specific customer and bringing that individual customer back by an ID value. And load customers, plural, is a read list. So that's going to fill a whole list. It's just going to get them all. Now, as you build that external content type, as you go through the wizard to do that, that's where you can place the types of filters that you actually want to use against the web service. So you can, you know, limit the number that people can bring back. You can do some nice filtering types of things there. For an external content type, these are the two foundational, or the two required, I should say, methods that you have to have on this content type. You have to have at least a read one, which is the load customer, and a read many, which is the load customers. Now, there's also, you can also create an add as well as a delete. So you have that capability. I just didn't go there. If you look over here on the right-hand side of the screen down low, these are the fields that I'm bringing back from my database. So I have a single endpoint that can return customers to me, okay? Either one or many. Is there anything else? This is just where the permissions of who can access it. And I think that's about it. Once this is created, okay, at this point, all we would do is we would just simply do a save on it. Once it's saved, then it's in, you know, stored down in the Business Connectivity Services metadata store, and it's then available to be able to surface external lists. Okay, so from an external list, we could either create a list and form from right here, but since I already have one, I'm going to go out here into, let's just go into finance here. And you can see the different external lists that I already have. I have my customers list. So this is the customers list that we just looked at. So data is coming back from that external content type via the WCF service. Now there's some interesting data here in that we have a searchable address here. And if you actually went out into the SQL store doesn't actually have that. That's something that the WCF service is augmenting as the data is going down, okay? So as it's preparing its data and providing it down to this external content type. So that's really nice because we'll see that surface in a little bit. So we have customers lists, we have orders. So this is just, we're hitting through the WCF service, we're pulling back all of our orders and all of our order items. So that's pretty quick. When you think about the fact that that's going through Office 365 and it's going out in Azure land somewhere, I don't know. I think I deployed my Azure services. They might be in Southeast Asia. I don't even know where they are. But just one of the centers. Okay, so there we have our wiring up of the WCF service through SharePoint Designer. And if we wanted to create a new list off of any of those, and just to call it something different for sake of the demonstration here, we can simply go into View All Content. We can go create a new list, create an external list, create, call it TechEd. And then what I can do is pop this little icon here, and it will go out and it will load up all of the external content types that I have available to me. And so let's go ahead and do this one. We'll do another orders one here just for fun. And let me just call that TechEd orders. And create that. And it's really pretty much just that simple. So we create it. And it hits the web service, and now we have over here on the right hand, on the left hand side, we just simply have TechEd orders. So that's the beauty of it. Once the external content type is there, we can do some really nice things off of it. Okay, so that's the foundation: web services, Azure, and Office 365, and putting that in place. So. So we built out the foundation, and we did that simply by building a WCF service. We created the BDC model, and that we did that through SharePoint Designer, wired everything up, set the permissions, and created an external list, and it's pretty straightforward. But now that it's there, this is where the fun starts, okay, from a developer and a power user perspective. This is where the fun starts, because now we get to do stuff with it. So what do we want to do? Well, first of all, let's look at some no-code things. I want the columns in that external list. I want the data in that external list to be able to automatically fill in a Word document for me, a proposal document. And so I don't have to type in all that stuff. I want that some of that name and address customer information to come right in the document, right out of my line of business system. I want to do that in a no-code way. So let's look at that. I also want to, I have an Excel document that goes against that external list, pulls in data, pops it into pivot tables, puts a bunch of charts out there on the Excel spreadsheet. I upload the Excel spreadsheet under Excel services into a document library, and then I want to expose in a dashboard some of those charts on a web page so that my execs can look at it. So that's a no-code kind of thing as well. Then I also want to see what can my Windows Phone do just because I have that external content type and that external list created. What benefits do I get to my salespeople just because that data is now available to them? So let's take a look at these. Okay. So let's go ahead and browse back here. Come back to finance. So on our finance site, we have proposals that we need to write. So with proposals, we want to be able to just pull in data directly off of our line of business system to fill in parts of our document. So we'll click on proposals. And I have a couple proposals here. But if I go to Documents and go New Document, Create a New Proposal, and go OK, Word opens up. And interestingly, Word up here in the Document Information panel has a whole bunch of columns that can be filled in from the line of business system. But moreover, I have these content controls down inside the document that are placeholders for information from my line of business system. So I can click on the right-hand icon, which is the picker icon. And when I create the external content type back in SharePoint Designer and I'm going through the wizard, I can actually choose which values I want to show up here in the picker. And so this is all automatic. I haven't written a line of code here. So I can choose, let's go ahead and City Power and Light and click OK. So now here's a proposal document that everywhere City Power and Light was located inside this document, just with the single click, I now have that data flowing into this document. It's also being stored as metadata with the document as well. Okay? So all of that is simply because I have that external list that's been made available to me. So my line of business data is now here and is now showing. So that's pretty exciting. That's pretty simple. Okay, so let's go ahead and close that out. And secondly then, from the perspective of the phone, what do we get with that? So here, I have Windows Phone. I have Internet Explorer, and I browse to one of my favorite sites here, Fabricam Team Sites. And Fabricam Team Sites should load up. Let me just come in. There we go. So here's my Fabricam team sites. And so I place that in my finance team site. In my finance team site, here's all of my list. Here's my two new lists, my orders list, my order items. I also have tech ed orders here. Here's my customers list. Now I have my salespeople that are actually out in the field. I'm bringing line of business data directly to their phone now. And they can look at the customers, browse through the customers, choose a customer, Southridge Apples. And notice there's the data that I pulled back from my WCF service coming in, but also that searchable address right there. So with the searchable address, my salesperson can now simply click on that, and they can go directly into the Bing map then, and they can get whatever kind of directions and instructions they want. I don't think I should get turn-by-turn directions from here to, where is that? New York somewhere. Okay, so that's a no-code solution that comes directly in. So let's go ahead and click out of that. Let's come into our SharePoint site again here. There's also the fact that in your Excel spreadsheets, once you upload those, or let's put it this way, before you upload your Excel spreadsheets, if you use named ranges to name things within your Excel spreadsheet, under Excel Services, all of those named ranges are exposed via the REST API that's available to you in Excel. So under Excel Services. So in this case, I have a document that is actually, let me go to that document real quick for you. Site actions, site content, documents. Let me go ahead and open this document. Okay. So here I have a document in Excel, and it has a number of pivot charts associated with it. This is actually pulling in data through BCS, and we'll see that in a minute in the code-based solution. But it's pulling in data, and it has a number of charts in here. So here's our product orders chart. So, but if I click on product orders chart, notice in the upper left-hand corner, it says goods and revenue. Okay. If I click on this other chart here, it says top goods shipped. So these charts are simply named ranges within SharePoint, within the document. So those become exposed to me now when I go out to Excel Services under SharePoint. And I can go to, there's a really interesting URL that you use to create this guy. Let me just go ahead, whoops. Let me escape out of that. Let me get this URL right here. Get it to where you can see the interesting part. Whoops. It's way too dark up here. Okay. Dang. Just 1 second. Sorry, guys. Ladies. Okay. There it is. All right. There we go. So it's VTI underscore bin excelrest.aspx. That's the REST endpoint for Excel documents under Excel Services. And then if you'll notice just the rest of that, it's just simply the location of the document in which library it's located in, which is documents and then the name of the actual spreadsheet. But then if you take the last part of that and you simply put on that model, okay, then what the REST API returns to you is the model of that sheet, okay, of that Excel document with the ranges, the charts, the tables, and the pivot tables, okay? So in this case, we can look at the ranges, all right? And any range named range we can see out here on the web. So let me just go ahead and it's not that any of these are horribly exciting. So, oh, that was really good. Okay. Let's just go to the charts. They're always more interesting. So here's the goods and revenue chart. So we're just simply retrieving that just with a standard URL. It's an authenticated URL. We're just retrieving that, bringing that in. So any part of the Excel document that has a named range associated with it, we can pick it out and use it. So in this case, let's go ahead and come back here now to the documents. Let's come back to our site here, main page, and we can see a number of these charts that are just being surfaced now with a no-code kind of solution, just being surfaced on a web page as a dashboard. Now, to create this web page then, all we really need to do is put this page into edit mode, and you can see then if we go to this chart right here, we do an edit on this chart. So we've just added Excel web parts to the page. We edit the web part. And here, all we're doing is putting in the location, the document library that the Excel document is in, and then we're just naming the named range that we want to expose here in this Excel Web Access web part. This is a great way to build your solutions using Excel as the back end and just surfacing data inside of these executive dashboards in this nice, easy way. So you can just lay these out any way you want on a web part page. So we'll go ahead and close out on this page here. We'll discard the checkout. All right. Come back to me. There we go. Okay. Lighting up how it works. So in order to add the columns to the web, to the Word document, in order to add the columns to the Word document, we need to just do a couple things. And it's pretty simple and really straightforward. So in this case, we're just going to, let me come back over here. In this case, we'll just go ahead and the right one here. Come back over here to our proposals. We'll go into our proposals library. So all we did was we added a library or created a document library just simply by going, we'll just go ahead and do this from scratch here. We'll go ahead and do View All Site Content, Create, a new library, new document library. Call it TechEd, create it. Okay. Oh, that's never fun. Okay. Thank you for recovering. Very nice. Appreciate that. All right. So library and library settings. Now, what we want to do is we want to associate a document with this library here. So the first thing we need to do is we need to come into advanced settings, because you'll notice there's no content type associated with this document library down here. So we come into advanced settings. We say yes to allow management of the content type. We click OK. So now that we've set that little setting there, now we can see that we can manage the document content type here. So now we can go into the document. We can change the description. So rather than that, we'll just go proposal. And we'll do a save on that. And now we go into advanced settings. And this is the default document that's already there, but we want to upload our own. So we can simply browse to the desktop. I can pick this document here, Fabricam proposal, click OK, and upload the document. So now I have a new document that's been associated with this. So let's go ahead and we'll just go back here now. Oops, TechEd. Library, edit settings. Now we want to add the external column. So how easy is that? So we're going to create a column, and we'll call this customer. And here, this is where we do the magic. We simply click external data. Once you click external data, that makes the content types available to you for selection. So here we can select customers. We can click OK. And now we have the option to choose what is the primary selection field that we want given to us in the list. So here we'll choose company name, and then we can bring in any of the other data attributes that we want. We can bring in city, country, customer ID, postal code, region, street address. So we're just going to bring back all of those and go OK. All right, so now that we've done that, we've pulled in the external list. So let's go ahead and go off back to our document now, our proposal document, and go into advanced settings. And we'll edit the template. And enable editing here. And it's just simple enough. Here's my template document. And anywhere now I place the I place my cursor to insert something, I can go to the Insert menu, go to Quick Parts, Document Property, and now all of those external content, all of those external fields from my external list are available to me. So I'll go ahead and click Customer. So Customer is going to be the selection field. And so in this case, we can go ahead and probably don't want it there. Let's put it down here. So you can just move these around, and it's just that simple. Now I simply save this document back, simply save the document back, and it becomes the template document that I can use for this library. So let's close that. Let's go OK. Let's come back to TechEd. And now under Documents, New Document, Proposal Document, open it up. And it's the document that's associated. And I can click on it. So no-code solution, very simple, very straightforward. Makes it easy to do, makes it easy to use. And you can also go in then and you can custom design your view on this so that this view at this point doesn't have to have all the external lists external columns associated with it. That's just another part of your management. Okay, so with that, yeah. It doesn't. Doesn't work with Office web apps, okay? You can see the data that was saved. You cannot create the data. The external columns, external list does not show inside of the web apps. So you have to be using Word because Word is what has the BCS understanding and capabilities there. Yeah. Let me see. The question for that was, how does this work with Office web apps? Okay, so that was the reason. Yeah. Yep. No, not with this functionality and feature. No, not at all. Nope. Content types are perfect. Yeah. Okay, so coming back to the slides here, the no-code then, in SharePoint Online, you add the enabled business BCS-enabled columns. Then in Word, you simply go in and use the quick parts. And for Excel Web Access web parts, you simply upload the Excel spreadsheet, use the named ranges, and add web parts to the page, to a web part page, the Excel Web Access web part, and then wire that up so that it points to the appropriate named ranges on the sheet. And then for Windows Phone, it just happens. It's just there. So because the external content type, external list is created under SharePoint, it also gets exposed out on the phone as well. Okay, so with that, we're going to look at some code-based solutions now. So the scenario for the company, for Fabricam, is that they send their people out into the field. And when the people go out to deliver the furniture item, if there's any kind of difficulty or any kind of damage that's been done to the item, they want to report that back. They want to report that the item, number one, the item was delivered, and whether or not there was damage associated with the item. But it's not just to report that there was damage associated with it. They also want to be able to take a picture of it, of the damage, and be able to push that out to the blob storage. So they're collecting a bunch of data. Now, in this case right here, we can see that we have the Windows Phone as a part of this solution. But then there's also the back-end office that's a part of this solution, that Excel document. That document is actually going to be reading the external list, okay? It's going out and hitting the Azure service and hitting the SQL database, so it can do that in real time. So any time that the back office wants to know how are things going on out in the field, they can go ahead and just and do a grab of the data that has been stored since the last time they pulled the data in. And then it automatically, in the Excel document, it automatically pushes that all the way through all of the pivot charts and everything. So they can have essentially almost a real-time sense of what's going on in the field. So we have our people out in the field that are collecting the data, delivering their items, and then we have the back office looking at that. And then that spreadsheet gets uploaded under Excel services in SharePoint Online, and then that lights up the executive dashboards. So with that, let's go ahead and take a look at that side of things. Oh, dang. Don't you love it when it does that? Okay, so let me come over here just real quick. I don't like this very much because it doesn't show real well. Is that light on? You see that? Let me just do something here. All right, so, boy, that is just not very good at all. Sorry about that. But I have a little app on my phone, and so here's my Fabricam app. And the first thing that the Fabricam app does, let me get it off of that autofocus. First thing that the Fabricam app does is it goes out to Windows Live, goes out through Access Control Services, and it authenticates the user. So the delivery person gets authenticated, and now this phone app is actually hitting the same WCF service, but it's pulling down data that's specifically for this delivery person. So here we have their data. Okay. And these are the ones that they have undelivered. If we go to the right here, scroll off to the right, we have the delivered ones. If we drill into a delivered one here, we can see that this had a failure on it. So we'll go ahead and look at that. So this is reaching out to Windows Azure Storage, pulling in that picture, and here's the picture. So along with the picture, they can say what the damage was. Okay? So let's go ahead and now go ahead and go to undelivered. We'll deliver this phone company one here. Go ahead and deliver the 2-seater leather. And the issue is that we had there's lights everywhere. Let me just make sure. Look good. Okay. So let's go ahead and accept that picture. So now it's uploading that picture. And we want to go ahead and, we'll tap to select the rejection. We'll say quality was the wrong fabric. We'll go ahead and save that back. And there was another item. So we'll go ahead and, I've got to take the same kind of picture here. Okay, accept that. Tap to select. Damage structural. Sorry about that. Go ahead and save that. Okay. And So we'll go ahead and set this as, boy, that's horrible, you guys. Mark order is delivered. There we go. Okay. And now, as it refreshes here, we have our delivered order to the phone company. And we should be able to see our picture. Okay, so that's good enough. So now we'll come into our Excel-based solution here. We'll go ahead and run this Excel solution. Too many screens. Log into Office 365. And here's my Excel document. I'm in the back office right now. I want to grab that fresh data that from the field. So I simply go update data. Now when I update the data, it's actually going out to my SharePoint site. It's hitting my external list. It's getting a fresh grab of the data. It's pulling it down. And it's loading it into my pivot tables. So all the raw data now has been brought down. So in this case, I should be able to go to 2012 and 6. And here's the phone company. And let me view that picture. And there you are. Okay, so now what I've gone from the phone to Azure, through my web service, up into BCS, exposing the data now into my Excel document. So the users can see the Excel document here. Now what I want to do is say, okay, now let's go ahead and upload this off into my Excel dashboard up under SharePoint Online. So I'm just want to get some more data here. Just going in. Okay. So let's go ahead and do a save as on this. Save this back to my site. Replace what's there. Not exactly sure why I did that. Okay. So we've now uploaded the document. Come back to my site. And let's go to browse. Finance site. Okay. So I have my new document uploaded here, and I can go ahead and go to my analysis dashboard. We can look at the analysis dashboard. But moreover, let's go into the view orders, because now this is available to everybody. Let's see, was it, who did I deliver to? I'm sorry? The power company. Sorry there. Go. Whoops. Hey, you didn't check on that. Okay, so now we have this one that was false. So now we can go ahead and look at that. And now we can retrieve that picture. And we've made this full round trip. So here we're using the JavaScript object model that's associated with Excel services. So we're just using the JavaScript object model to be able to look at what's in the external list, see what's been delivered, as well as then we're tracking which items are true or false as what they have, whether they were accepted or rejected. And then once we know that from the external list, Then we also grab the URL that's associated with that. We grab the URL and we do a REST call with JavaScript. We do a REST call directly out to Blob Storage to load that picture. So there's a ton of technologies that are just being surfaced here that you can use to build the full end-to-end solutions. So with that, let's go ahead and take a quick look at the, let me just go ahead and close Excel here. But let's go into Visual Studio and take a real quick look at how do we go about building these code-based solutions? How do we go about hitting that external content type or that external list out under SharePoint Online? Well, typically this URL path here is not going to be inside your code. It's going to be in something outside your code. But here I've just put it inside the code. Here's the path to my site, okay, where the external content type or the external list is located. So I'm going to go ahead and hit that external list. But there's one thing that we need to understand is that when we go against that external list, we have to authenticate to it. It's a huge difference between being on-premises and in the cloud, in the sense that Active Directory isn't doing all kinds of goodness for us under the covers when we're on-premises. So we can't just do, you know, Windows Integrated Auth. We have to be able to prompt the user to collect the credentials and then to be able to have the access to SharePoint Online. Now, there's some things under the covers that help mitigate that and to save the prompts, save you from prompting all the time. But in this case, what we need to do is we need to be able to make sure that we're authed before we access or in order to access the external list. So that's a little bit different mechanism than what you use if this was a on-prem piece of code right here. There's just one other little piece that you have to put in. And I'll show you the URL to it. But there is a claims auth project that needs to be added, okay? So it's this claims auth project here. Claims auth project that needs to be added into your solutions if you're building add-ins. Because it has to be able to prompt the user with that Trident type of, that Trident browser control. User will put in their credentials. And once they click OK on that, then your application essentially runs this code right here to grab the cookies, the auth cookies, okay, and be able to pass those through. So this piece of code, it's all well documented, but it's a must if you're writing add-ins that are going to be hitting SharePoint Online. You need to have this for sure. Okay, so with that, it's going to, rather than client context here, and essentially just new, you would just, essentially on-premises, you'd just do a new client context. Here we do a get authenticated context, which actually takes you down. Let me just bump this a little bit. Which takes you down into this method, get authenticated context. And it does all that work for you to be able to grab the cookies, and it will push those in to the client-side object model call back to SharePoint Online. So it will take care of all of that for you. But you just need to make sure that that code is in there. Okay, so I'm getting short on time here, so let me just go ahead and wrap up. Okay, so back to the PowerPoint. So the Office 365 identity architecture, you've probably been to that. There are just a number of ways that you are going to be able to auth to the platform. The bottom line is that solution right there handles all of this. So no matter whether you're federated with Active Directory or whether you just have DirSync running with your online IDs or you're using the out-of-the-box online IDs, that one solution manages all of that for you. It's exactly the same for all of them. So with the code-based drill down, we had an Excel 2010 add-in, which actually hit the external list, brought the data in, filled out the Excel, all of the pivot tables, pivot charts. Excel services then, under that, we use the JavaScript object model. We use the client-side object model for JavaScript as well. Then we made REST calls back to the blob storage to actually get the image that was stored. For Windows Phone, the authentication is via access control services. And the WCF service is called directly from the phone. So we're making multiple use of that Azure-based web service. So the end-to-end productivity solution, we had the Word no-code, we had the Excel code-based solution, we had the Excel no-code solution, then we add the JavaScript object model and REST onto it for a code-based solution. And then we have Windows Phone no-code solution, just because the external lists are surfaced out there just through the browser. And then we had the code-based solution that went directly against Windows Azure WCF service and blob storage as well. So what are the other potentials for blobs, for lob or line of business data? Just about any way that you want to surface line of business data into a WCF ASMX service that has username and password, it can be used. So, you know, a WCF service could wrap an OData service. A WCF service could wrap a REST-based service. WCF service could expose data from any database. So although we don't have the SQL connectivity directly, we can still expose it through through a database through a WCF service, just like I had done. And on-premises WCF services, if you're out in the cloud for Office 365, but your line of business data is back on-premises, then there's another pattern that you can use in that you can have your WCF service, you can have a WCF service sitting out in Windows Azure that is really a proxy to a WCF service that's sitting behind your firewall. The only thing is, between those two, you need to use another Azure-based technology, and that's Azure Service Bus, and so that it can, with Service Bus, it can create this connection through the firewall and a secure connection, and so you just have the proxy out in Azure, and then you have your service, actual service sitting on-prem, but the service bus is going to be that transport layer that you can use to get back to on-prem. So through that, I hope that you see that BCS is valuable to power users, it's valuable to developers, and it's valuable to just about any end user, because that's where information actually really becomes action, and that's where we want our information to be. So if you agree, then start using BCS. Make things happen in your enterprise through by getting your line of business data out there. Any questions? Yes, sir. Yes. No, everything, the phone, the question was, did the data end up back in SharePoint or the SQL store? And the phone application called the WCF service directly, and it updated the orders database with the order having been delivered. And so the phone was updating the SQL Azure database. At that point, no. Not until the Excel spreadsheet read the data, pulled it back in, and then that's when it was consumed. Right. Correct. So data in a SharePoint external list is dynamic. It never lives or is stored in SharePoint. It only is exposed when a user clicks on a link or calls that data in. It's not persisted. It's always real time. Okay, thank you very much. I'll be up here for a little bit for further questions, but thank you.